Good morning. How you guys doing? Swell, wonderful. That's great. Good stuff. Well, when I was a young teenager, there was something that was really, really important to me, something that I felt like I needed more than anything else in the world, and that thing was fun. I needed to have fun. I mean, I needed to wake up in the morning, start having fun as soon as I woke up, have fun all day long, stay up late having fun, go to sleep, and then wake up the next morning and continue to have fun. Like, fun was the top of the mountain of the things that I desired more than anything else. And so much so that when I was a teen, I would wake up at like 5 in the morning, you know, 6, as a teenager, by the way. I would wake up really early. And I didn't want to call my friend because he would be asleep and because his parents would be asleep and I would wake him up. So I would walk all the way across town early in the morning at like 6 a.m., go to my friend's house, and I would throw rocks at his window. Nick, wake up! And then try not to wake up his parents. And then it would eventually wake him up, and I didn't break his window. It's a miracle. But he woke up, he would open his window, it's like, Neil, what are you doing? It's 6 in the morning. I'm like, you want to like play Halo or something? Like, you want to play video games? Let's hang out. I want to sleep. It's like, nah, it's overrated. Come on. I was up till 3. That's okay. You don't need sleep. You can sleep when you're dead. And so eventually he would let me in, which is a miracle. And we would play and hang out. And I was just so desperate. I always wanted to have fun. And then even to the point where I would call him and say, hey, can I stay the night? You know, my friends. Hey, can I stay the night at your house? Let's hang out. He's like, dude, my mom said, like, you couldn't stay the night because I've, like, got homework to do, and I didn't do it, and I didn't clean my room and stuff. I'm like, put your mom on the phone. He's like, what? I'm like, just put your mom on the phone. He's like, okay, mom, Neil wants to talk to you. And she's like, hello, Neil. Like, hello, Mrs. Smith. You know, how are you doing today? You doing good? That's wonderful. Well, you know, you mentioned that I couldn't spend the night tonight because, you know, your son, he's got homework to do. Totally understand that, right? He's got to clean his room. Well, how about this? I'll make sure that he gets all of his homework done, and I'll clean his room for him, help him clean his room. And you know what to throw in? Another one. You know, we'll just clean the whole house for you. And then my friend's in the background saying, no, I didn't sign up for this. I'm like, come on, what do you say? And she's like, okay. And so I'm like, great. I'm like, dude, I'm coming over. He's like, yeah, but this is miserable. So I would come over. I'm like, dude, get your homework done. Get it. I'd be like this taskmaster. And I'd be cleaning his room and picking up all his Legos and doing that while he's doing his homework. But the whole house would get clean, and then we'd get to hang out. So mission accomplished. And so I got to the point where his parents liked having me over, because the house always ended up being clean and the homework ended up being done. So they didn't mind me coming over at all. In fact, I just drank all their milk. And so they would hide that from me. Or they'd buy an extra gallon when they found out that I was spending the night. So, but these are all true stories, guys. I loved it. It was something so important to me. And I needed that. I needed to have fun. But there were times where I didn't have anyone to play with, hang out with, and you know what? I was upset, but indeed I survived. Surprisingly enough, I did make it. But even now, knowing that Jesus meets my every need, that I have everything I need, it's found in him, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack no good thing, I know that truth. There are still moments in my life where I find myself wanting, feeling like I need something. Something that maybe deep down I believe that God can't give me. I need something more. And so today we're going to talk about this desire. The title of my message today is Wanting. Wanting. So we're going to continue in our series this morning on Making Room. This is our fall immersive series. And the focus of the series is found in Luke chapter 8. It's the parable of the sower. And the idea is We're focusing on the discipline of simplifying, creating space, making room in our lives. We're not trying to add more things to our already full life. What we need to do first before we do that is create space. We are tending the garden of our hearts. Because our hearts get so full of so much stuff that the Word of God, the truth of God's kingdom, our living relationship with Jesus, has no room to thrive. There's no room for it to bear fruit because our garden is crowded with all these other things. In our hearts, in our minds, in our calendars, in our schedules, in our pace, we have so much that we're cramming into our lives that we have no room for the kingdom. We have no room for a living relationship with a living God. Our experience of a living God, a loving Father, and a life-giving kingdom become simply religious ritual and rhetoric, to where we might be faithful and continue to be a part of something that is God-esque, but as far as our hearts coming alive to Him, we're missing that dynamic. And last week we talked about the first symptom of a crowded life being constant fatigue, just being tired. Tired, tired, tired. Anybody tired at all anytime this week? Anybody at all tired this week? Okay. All right. Well, if you weren't, let's talk afterwards. I would love to hear your life story. It's hard, right? We live in a tired world, and we talked about that last week. And the cause of this constant fatigue of always being tired, one of the primary causes of that is hurry. The pace at which we live, going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, filling up our schedule. As soon as we have space, we fill it with something else. And then we make no room even for transition. Even from going from one thing to the next, our heart never has time to catch up, right? Because our heart cannot go at that breakneck speed. It can't. Our heart takes time to process. In the same way love requires time and space, our heart requires time and space in our lives in order to be healthy, in order to stay connected with the Spirit of God. And so when we're constantly moving at this incredible rate of speed, we're dragging our hearts behind us through the mud. And along the way, when our hearts get beat up enough, they get hardened. They get calloused. And then what happens to so many believers is a couple decades down the road, they wake up one day and they're at church and they're doing the thing, but they have no connection to God. It's just dead. It's just indifferent. It's not because they don't want to. It's just because their heart has just been dragged behind them for so long that they can't engage their heart anymore. They don't even know how, and we have to go through a process of breaking down the fallow ground and digging up all of that hard soil so that it can be receptive to the truth of God and to bearing fruit once again. But we learn that Jesus was an unhurried individual. He went at his own pace, never rushed, always at peace. He knew who he was. He wasn't influenced by the culture. He wasn't influenced by the context, the time restraints. He wasn't influenced by the crowd, their opinion of him. Nothing drove him forward. The only thing that caused him to move was what the Father was saying and what the Father was doing. And he had enough margin in his life to welcome interruptions in the form of people and love well both people and the Father. And we learned if we're going to follow Jesus and take on his yoke, his way of living, then we must slow down. So I hope you took some time this past week with those reflection questions and just praying and asking God, God, what is the belief behind my hurry? Like, why am I doing it? Why am I hurrying? Why do I feel that? What do I believe in that? And it might not always be constant for you, but in the times that you are, what's the belief behind those moments of hurry? And then what is it that we need to surrender to Jesus in order to slow down? So today we're going to talk about the second symptom of a crowded life. But before we do that, let's look at our passage, Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. It says, while a large crowd was gathered and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And then in verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. Verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Remember, notice all three of them, four of them, heard the word. They all heard it. We hear it, but the question is, what do we do with what we hear? Does the word of God and the truth of God's kingdom have room in our hearts to be planted? And room not just to be planted, but to grow roots. And not just to grow roots, but to bear fruit. Does it have that space in our hearts? So we are working kind of our way backward and following the path of how we get to that place of having a hard heart and what happens to us, these symptoms. So we started with we're hurried and we're tired, right? Those are the first symptoms. But you can be tired and still be fruitful, right? I mean, it happens. You know, we can still bear fruit. We can still be like Jesus, love people well, even when we're tired. Absolutely, because there's sometimes that you're just tired. But the next symptom makes it even more difficult to be fruitful, and that is wanting. This idea of wanting. What does that mean? Wanting is lacking in a certain required or necessary quality, not existing or supplied, absent. It's this feeling that we are missing something in our life. It's the whole grass is greener on the other side, right? Right? Where we always think about, oh man, if I only had this, then my life would be better. If only this happened, then things could be better. Then I could thrive. If only this changed, then, right? It's this idea of if I can have these things, if these things can fall into place, then everything is going to be fine. But this is what happens when we stay too tired for too long. We get hypersensitive, right? When we're tired, we're irritable, hypersensitive, we're touchy, we're restless. So when we've been too tired for too long, what starts to look a lot more alluring are the things that immediately gratify us because we're too tired to wait. The things that immediately make us feel better, that's what we're after because we're too tired to wait for the other stuff. I don't have time. I don't have time to work on these harder, healthy habits or whatever. Like, I need something right now to make me feel better. I feel horrible. I feel miserable. I'm tired. I need something to change the way I feel right now. And so we look to things that immediately gratify us, whatever those things are. And guess what? Our culture supplies those. Tons and tons of things that can immediately gratify us. They're ready. Their marketing in our culture is ready to give us all those options to fill our lives with. But notice what happens. We're tired, we're worn out. We do something that gratifies us. Let's say we're on social media or we're watching TV or whatever it is, right? We're doing something that's to make us feel better quickly in the moment. And we stay up late doing something that's making us feel better. And then we're tired the next day. And then the next night, we're like, hey, I got to do something to make me feel better. And we stay up late. And then we're tired the next day. And it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy of like, we just keep setting ourselves up for failure. We keep setting ourselves up for needing something to gratify instead of breaking the cycle, right? When we are tired, the things that take time, like relationship with God and with others, aren't nearly as appealing. When we're tired, the things that take time, the things that are long-term investments, the things that take discipline, the things that take space, the things that start as a discipline but end as a desire, we never get to the desire part because it costs us too much. Our life is too full, and we say, man, this is not doing anything for me right now. I need something now. And that's the devil's temptation, is he's ready to offer you whatever it is you need in the moment to make you feel better. And so then those things that take time, they're the things that get left behind. And guess what? Those are the things that our heart needs more than anything else. Relationship, love, the presence of the Father, true community. Those are the things that we're really wanting that are going to meet the deep down needs behind all of the symptoms. So what happens is we start believing the lie that God isn't enough. I need something else. We start believing, I'm doing God. I'm doing God stuff, you know. Go to church and doing the God thing. Right? And I'm going to church and, you know, that's not enough. I need something else because clearly God, I'm doing God and it's not working. Right? But there's something more than that. But we believe a lie that God isn't enough, that we need something else. And notice, wanting isn't a physical ailment, but an emotional one. It's not physical. Being tired, that's physical. But wanting is an emotional element. It's what happens when our mind has no space. Look at the description of the thorns again, Luke 8:14. It says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Notice that God's truth is choked by worries, riches, and pleasures. Now, a lot of those aren't bad, right? Like worries, I mean, we don't really want to worry, right? That's bad. Means no worries. You know, we don't want to worry. Hakuna Matata. But riches, pleasures. Sorry, my voice is kidding. Riches, pleasures. I'm going back to my teen years when I'm knocking on windows and stuff. Those are, I mean, it's good. It's okay to have a life's pleasures. There's good things in life. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to prosper. That's okay. But the point isn't what is in our garden. Those are not immoral things. The point isn't what is in our garden. It's how much is in our garden. See, our garden can be full of good things. Full. Jam-packed full of good things. But are those the God things? We can have a life full of good stuff and be incredibly unhealthy. It's true. Our heart can be full of a lot of good things, but still be incredibly unhealthy. The problem isn't in the things, but the fact that it's full. Good things can choke out or crowd out God's truth in our lives just as much as bad things can. Good things can choke out the truth of God's word just as much as bad things can. We can fill up our schedules with lots of good stuff, but if it leads us to being tired and exhausted and all at our wits' end, and we're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, and then we end up giving into our flesh, and then we end up believing lies, and then we end up going to immediate gratification, then clearly it's not good for us. So what we need to do is discern, God, what do you want? Not just assume, okay, just lots of good stuff. Fill it up. Lord, what good things? What things are you inviting me to have in my garden? So the symptom is wanting, but the cause is this word covetousness. Covetousness, what does that mean? Covetousness is a strong desire for something, especially something that belongs to someone else. It can also be described as an envious eagerness to possess something. It's this desire for more, right? This insatiable appetite that Americans and Western culture has cultivated for more. I need more. We are trained as kids. We're trained to believe. I've seen kid shows with my kids, and there's just so much marketing just poured at kids. And so, and then sure enough, I see the, you know, advertisements that kids watch, and then a few minutes later they come, hey, can we get blah, 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 blah? Because they're planting seeds in the minds of kids of all the stuff that we need. More is always better, right? That's the lie. More is always better. The lie that what you need to fill that desire in you, that wanting, what you need is more stuff that can immediately gratify you. That's what you need. And that's the lie that the enemy throws at us. There is such a thing as too much. There is. This is also not Jesus' design. There's another quote from that book, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. He says, the problem isn't stuff. It's that, one, we put no limit on stuff due to our insatiable human desire for more. And two, we think we need all sorts of things to be happy when in actuality, we need very few. And that's the truth. We need very few to be content and to be full. But the world teaches us we need so many things in order to be happy. 1 John 2:15 says this in the message, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. The NLT says, craving everything we see. Right? Craving everything we see. And we see a lot. It's all over our world. And he says that the love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. What does that sound like? The thorns, right? In the parable, squeezing out love for the Father to where there's no room for it. All this wanting turns to believing the lie of needing. Needing. There's a shift, a subtle shift of like, I want a new car, right? Right, but then over time, what the marketing world wants us to think is, no, I need a new car. I need this. Not just one. No, you need it. And that's the lie. It's very subtle, but that's what they're trained to do. Somewhere along the way, someone in a marketing meeting said something like this, and I love this quote from that book. We must shift America from a needs to a desires culture. People must be trained to desire, to want new things, even before the old have been entirely consumed. We must shape a new mentality. Man's desires must overshadow his needs. And how have we seen that to be true in our world? Yes? Man's desires overshadowing his needs. Right? The needs, we put those on the back burner. What do I want? That's what matters. And that's what we're taught to believe. But let's look at what Jesus said about what we need. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Verse 29, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Man, Jesus throwing down again. Like, wow, gosh. When we really look at the things that Jesus taught and the way he lived, it's different. It's very different. And that's what he invites us into. Jesus sums up our needs. Check this out. Look at the long list. He sums up our needs as food and clothing. Food and clothing. And even those things, he says, to trust our Father for. It's like, here's your needs, food and clothing. But also, trust God for those. He's going to provide those for you as well. It's like, okay. Then you see it again when Jesus sends out the 12, Luke 9, verse 1 through 6. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. He literally instructs them to take nothing, like no things. He said, don't take anything. Just go out there and completely be dependent upon me. That's a little extreme, but that's what he invites them to do. He's like, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to change the way you see the world. Take nothing for your journey. Luke 9, 57 and 58. And they were walking along the road, and a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. The truth of the matter is, Jesus didn't have much. He didn't have much. It makes sense that he didn't mention shelter as one of the things that we needed, because he didn't have one. He didn't have a permanent shelter. Have you guys seen The Chosen? Anybody watched that before? Right? And you see how Jesus lived. Like, they literally like set up camp, and then they would go to another place, and they'd set up camp. He was just on the move from one place to the next. So Jesus invites us into a lifestyle that is separate from the things of this world. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't work jobs. It doesn't mean that we don't provide for our families. It doesn't mean any of those things. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, what is it that you need? I'm trying to get you to live life focused on what you actually need, not the things that you want, not the desires. So there was only one thing that Jesus said we needed. There was one. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. One thing, indeed, only one that you really need, and that's me. That's what you need. And that's what, when we zoom out and look at life from an eternal perspective, we come to that realization. What I actually really need is Jesus. I need him. I can live without the other things, but I need Jesus. And Jesus says, there are some things that you need, and I'll provide those for you. If you trust me, I'll make sure that the other needs that you have are met. But seek first the kingdom. Seek first me. So that means if he's the only need, then we have room to remove things in our lives, right? There are some things that we clearly don't need. So there are some things that we can remove from the garden. And that's the truth of it. I want to close with this. When we believe the lie that there are all these things that we need, it crowds out the room in our mind because we're always thinking about the things that we don't have, right? I mean, think about it. What do you think about more? Is it the things that you do have or the things that you don't? Right? It's the things that we're wanting. That's what ends up dominating our mind, not the things that we do have. Now, if you're practicing gratitude really well, then maybe those are the things that are on your mind more. But typically, it's the things that we don't have. And so it crowds our mind, but it also crowds out the room in our hearts because, like 1 John said, we end up giving our hearts away to things that we believe we need. Now, we might not actually need them, but if we believe that we need them, then we're giving a piece of our heart away to those things. And then our heart gets divided between all of these other needs that we have. And then the one need we do have, Jesus, we don't have room for. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack no good thing. James 1, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. The truly good things in this world share the same source. They come from Jesus. The things that are good, that we really need in our lives, all come from the same place. There's a quote from the book Unhurried Life by Alan Fadling. He says this, I rush to do for myself what I somewhere deep down believe God is failing to do for me. I rush to do for myself what I deep down believe God is failing to do for me. Why do I rush through this world as though it were an all-you-can-eat buffet right before the restaurant closes and the serving trays are almost empty? Isn't that like a great picture? Rushing through the world, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet, but they're almost closed and the trays are almost empty. We gotta get as much as we can. Why do we do that? What if I can learn to unhurriedly trust that God himself will fill my plate with all I need? How would that change the way we experience our world and live in this life? And how much of a testimony would that be to those outside of the kingdom? If we lived our lives from that place of trusting in God and being content with all that we need, and they saw people who walked through life, literally, not ran, walked through life at an unhurried pace, trusting in Jesus. So here's our reflection questions for the week, for our small groups. I want to take some time and think about. Question number one, what are some things you feel are things you need, but deep down you know you don't? You feel like you need them, like something in your life that you feel like you need, but if you're really honest with yourself, you know you don't. You don't really need that thing. But be honest with yourself about it. This is just between you and God, so journal it. You don't have to share this with anyone necessarily. If you're in a small group, maybe share it with your group. But what's something that from time to time, might not be always, but you have this feeling in you that, man, I need that, but you know you really don't need it. And then the second question is, what is the real need behind these desires? See, sin is when we try to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. So when we have these desires for these different things, what is the actual need in our hearts that we're trying to meet? Is it that we're actually just tired and what we need is a nap, you know, or 8 hours of sleep? Is it love, acceptance? And we're going to all these other things that don't seem to be related, but we're really trying to meet a need of fulfillment, contentment, purpose. What is the real need behind us reaching out for different things? So I encourage you, take some time this week with the Lord. Take just a few minutes and ask these questions. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. and shepherd your heart along the way. When you bow your head and close your eyes, I just want to take a moment and invite the presence of the Holy Spirit here to meet the needs that we have. Maybe needs that we're unaware that we have. Needs that we've been trying to find other things to meet. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Lord, will you come? Search out our hearts, God. Reveal to us what it is that we're really longing for. Lord, and Father, will you reveal any lies that we may have believed along the way? That something can meet the need that only you can meet. Lord, search our hearts, Jesus. Father, I just pray that you'll pour out your Spirit on us today, your children. You are so good. Lord, and you want to be everything that we need, God. You want to meet every need. You're a good shepherd. You're a good Father. So, Lord, we take this time, we open our hearts to you to receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? We're going to close with a song of worship.
blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer.
Dear Lord, as we move from this service and into our week, Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to make room for you in our lives. Lord, help us to evaluate what we think has been important to us and drop those things we realize we really don't need to spend our time and energy on. Help us to refocus that energy on you and on your people, on your ministry and what you would have us to do with this gracious gift of life you have given us. Lord, help us to get beyond the tiredness in your rest. Help us to get beyond the wanting in all of your good gifts. Lord, bless these people. Protect them as they go into this week. Lord, cover them in your grace. And we pray. Amen. Hopefully we can see you on Wednesday if you come out for the Practicing the Way. Even if you missed week one, please come back for week two. Had a great crowd for week one. It's a great opportunity to figure out more about what God wants you to do. So thank you and God bless.